like good singing all the way around. I appreciate all the good songs of Zion. We've got several people that we're praying about, so I hope that you'll remember and keep them lifted up toward the Lord, not only one for another, but for myself as well, and I certainly appreciate your kindness and your attention. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 10. If you find the place and you're able to stand, then let's look there in verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter number 10, about verse number 12. And now, Israel, what doeth the Lord require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all of his ways, to love him and serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And then notice over there in chapter number 11, he goes and tells in verse 4. He talks about the miracles that he performed, this and that. In verse 4 he says, and what he did to the army of Egypt and their horses and to the chariots, and how that he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. Then he gives other illustrations there of people like Dathan, Abiram, people that he opened up the earth, fire burned them, swallowed them down. Then in chapter number 10 again, verse 16, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We want to thank you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now, I pray you'd bless every family represented here tonight. Be with those that could not be. We'll say thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on living with a circumcised heart. You know, we live in a world that's lost and undone without God, and let me tell you, God terms all of that business there uncircumcised. In other words, they don't have the mark of God upon them whatsoever. But you and I that got born again, we don't just have outward circumcision, but circumcision that comes in the heart. And let me tell you what it does is it'll change your heart and your life forever. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find it is a time of rejoicing. When you come to know the Lord, it's a time of rejoicing. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All your sins in days gone by have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm glad to know that God does that. And let me say to you that, if you will, that there is forgiveness with God. And I don't care how far down in the gutter that you've ever been, is that he's able to reach farther down than you and I can reach up. And whenever we do by faith and come to him as an empty-handed beggar, he not only makes us whole, but he makes us clean and puts us back in fellowship with him. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that whether it be your house or my house, the White House or whatever it is that there's some blessings we ought to rejoice in. I think about all the grandbabies that we have. I'm glad we're not having to keep them every day, all day, and so forth and on. We couldn't be able to hold up to that. But I'm glad for these grandbabies, these great-grandsons now. And people are always telling me, you know, hey, you're living the dream. Well, yeah, and sometimes it's a nightmare. But most of the time, it's just a blessing, and we like to be able to have these kiddos come by and visit with and this and that. So forth. I can't tell you how many ice cream bars, cans of Coke, and this and that have been laid out to melt and waste just sitting on the counter. But it's a blessing. I'm glad to have a little bit of money to be able to buy another box. Let me tell you, there's not only a time to rejoice, you're going to find out there's a time to reflect. You look at how good God's been, where he brought you from, where you would have been had it not been for the grace of God. And I can tell you right now, it was not due to tell where God brought some of us from. I'm glad that when God saved my soul and saved your soul, he separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And you know what that is? That's just simply going in a straight line. And the further time goes, the farther our sins get away from us because of the fact they've been taken care of by the Lord. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that there are some things in this life we could have done better. But make no mistake about it, I'm glad for good health. And I'm glad. You ever notice how you don't miss your health until it's gone? I mean, that's the way it is. Whenever I got sick, you know, I got to thinking, oh my, this is terrible. And Lord, first thing hit my mind, Lord, forgive me for taking good health for granted. And let me tell you, you ought to be thankful that you can have some good health. And not only that, to be in fellowship with God. Now, the Lord has been looking from the beginning of the year all the way to the end of the year. He knows exactly what we're doing. He knows exactly how we're functioning. He knows exactly what we're going to need. And I want to tell you something. He also knows if you're not serving God. I'm glad to know that I'm a part of the family of God. And as a result of that, you're going to find is that we ought to reflect upon it every now and again. How'd you like to be dead in your trespasses and sins and blind as a bat, not know that you is headed to hell without hope and without God? Look over here in Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and look at about verse number 13. And he said, and it'll come to pass that if you'll hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that I will forgive you and the rain of your land in due season, and the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil, and I'll send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be filled. I want to tell you, he said, take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived. I'll tell you, if we ever ought to meet God with a circumcised heart, the day and hour we're living in, this country's gone to hell in a handbasket, not going, but gone. And as a result of that, you're going to find out God's been looking at how we're responding to whatever's going on. I got to be honest with you. I know this. I don't know how in the world God puts up with me, much less some of this mess he's looking at in the world that we've got going on. I just don't see how it happens. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something. God is ever looking. He sees us, sees if you're in relationship with the Word of the Lord, sees if you've hid the Word in your heart or if not, sees if you're just going through the motion or if you're the real deal. I don't suspicion anybody not being real, but that's something you're going to have to decide between you and God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, is that he's looking at how you respond to the blessed Word of the Lord. Now, in the day we live in, whenever I was growing up as a kid, we never did hear a whole lot of Bible preaching. Somebody would read a passage, be some old man. I just thought maybe he was just, that's the way it was. And the only thing worse than a dead Baptist preacher would be a dead Baptist missionary. And I thought in my mind as a kid sitting there listening to a bunch of nothing. I understand now where missionaries come from. There are people that want to be preachers, but they can't preach well enough to hold down a church. So they go to the foreign field and preach to people that don't know any better. That's the form of, in my mind, that's what I formed mentally, and that's what I thought by what I was listening. Every time we had a revival, it'd be just as dead as the pastor that we had. And when they would come, they'd stand up there, and they'd read one passage, and then as a result, talk about their mama, talk about their life as a little boy, talk about where they used to live, what they used to do, and it was just a life story that amounted to nothing whatsoever. Boy, when I got saved by the grace of God, God awakened me to there's a word. Well, Brother Roloff used to say to people whenever he got saved, they handed him a Bible. And he said, I looked at that and I thought, is that it? He said, I'll have that preached up in no time. And he said, I've been preaching all these years and I've not touched the hem of the garment. That's the truth. I got to say to you that you're not going to rise above the Word of the Lord and whatever the Word says. You can always rest assured that whatever God says, that He means it. He says what He means what He says. And as a result of that, you'd better certainly take that to heart because He's looking at you and how you respond to the Word of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. He's looking at how much I love Him. I know how much He loves me. He went to the cross and proved it. He's not only telling me and showing me how much that he loves me, but I'll tell you that, is that you'll find he's looking that if you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. I can tell you right up front, dear friend, we'd have a whole lot less trouble in life, even in our inner turmoils, if we followed that passage. This Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he's yet near. I can tell you, he won't always be at your beck and call, but he will while he's near and dear to your heart. He sees our service, and he sees how sincere that we are about the things of God. Now, There's a passage over there that in Romans chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but you do need to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and about verse number 4 or 14. 1 Corinthians, I'll let you find that. And I want you to look at that passage because we live in a day and an hour that's defiant against the Lord Jesus Christ. They're defiant because of the fact they don't want to believe Him. They don't want to believe His resurrected power. They don't want to believe in the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say to you, you're going to, the close of the coming of the Lord, especially you boys and girls, young men and young ladies, you're going to come upon this a lot. I've seen on the news this week more than one time people that were arguing with a Christian and saying, "Can you prove that Jesus has resurrected?" And, well, it's by faith that we believe. Oh, yeah, I see. You're going to pull that there. Well, let me tell you, you're talking to somebody that's arguing against Christ that cannot know Him in the free pardon of sin. Now, you know why they can't know Him? Is because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The faith you've got, you believed in the Lord, you heard through preaching. And let me tell you, when God granted you faith, it was faith to believe what He said, receive what He said, be born into the family of God. That's the faith He's talking about. The world doesn't have that. Why? They don't believe the Word of the Lord. They'll never have saving faith. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and about verse number 14. You better remember it if you hadn't already. You better grab hold of it and let God hide it down in your heart. Because in verse number 14, He says, 1 Corinthians 2, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." That's you and I before we got saved. We're natural men, natural women. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Why? "For they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now you know what that means? Until God grants you God-given faith by the preaching of the Word of the Lord, you can't believe Him. You're never going to believe Him. But whenever God, by His Word, begins to open up your heart, let me tell you something, you can be saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. Now back in our text, I want to say to you that as we look there in the book of Deuteronomy, is that you're going to find out that obeying the Word of the Lord doesn't have anything to do with how good or how bad you feel about it. When you and I look into the Bible, you'll find out is that feelings sometimes can get in our way. As I begin to look into the Bible said that you and I, that he that loveth his father and his mother more than me, or his son or daughter more than me, is not worthy of me, Matthew chapter number 10. I'm going to tell you something. When it comes down to believing God, you're going to have to forget about everybody else, and you're going to have to listen to the Holy Ghost of God. You're going to have to believe God, and sometimes that's going to be standing against family members, and sometimes going to be standing against friends. I've lost a lot of friends over this Bible in days gone by, but God's still right. He's still right on time. And I got to tell you right up front that if you're not careful in this day and hour that we're living in, that's the reason why God said you better take heed to yourself and you better listen to what God had to say, because what God wants to do is to give you something that'll be like. Look over in chapter number 11, Deuteronomy verse number 16. He said, "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." You know what happens to the average Baptist? Is that whenever it goes to getting on them too much, they're ready to relocate. Now, we've been together a long time. I don't foresee that happening. But I've seen a lot of people come through this old building and on out the other side. I've seen them shouting amen on one day and oh me and leaving the next. And you have too. As a result of that, you better take heed to yourself. Because the Bible said there that when you look into it, that your heart could be deceived and be overcharged by surviving and living and the pressures of life. I want to say to you, what we need in this world we're living in is a revival. And by that I'm talking about God sent revival that certainly that will give us repentance. You know, you're never going to feel sorry about what you need to feel sorry about, or I'm not either, until God grants us repentance. You know, God's got to grant you repentance and grant you faith. You can go through all the motions if you want to, but I guarantee you until God grants repentance, until God gives faith, it's not going to amount to anything. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that revival, not only that, it causes you to replan. I not only do I want to walk with him, I want to replan and be more righteous and be more like him and certainly be faithful unto the things of God. Now I'm going to tell you, we live in a Baptistic world that's in church and out of church, and they're more out than they are in. And they're not going to feel the same way about God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent that you that are here all the time feel. They're not going to. That's just the way that it is. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that keeping the word of the Lord has nothing to do with how good we feel or how bad we feel. It has to do in obedience unto the blessed Lord himself. And that's what these two lessons are about. God told Moses, I want you to go up on the mountain. And of course, you know, the other two tablets, the Ten Commandments, that God had hewed out and God had printed upon. When Moses came down off the mountain and saw after 40 days and nights, they were making a golden calf. And I'm always saying that's the only time in the Bible you'll find an associate, and Aaron was that associate. And the only time that the associate was left in charge, when Moses came back down the hill, there he had a golden calf, and they were dancing and having a high heel time and just around that golden calf. I said all that to be able to say this, is that you're going to find out that if you're going to keep up with the word of the Lord and be obedient unto the things of God, God will grant you repentance and God will give you faith to just believe him. And it won't matter how good you feel, how bad you feel, God will always be right on time and be right about the matter. In closing tonight, that's why over in Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and about verse number 4, he talked about he is the rock. Now he also mentioned in that whole chapter there that their rock, talking about the world, their rock is not the same as our rock. And I can tell you right now, make no mistake about it, these are people that have no faith. They don't believe God. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when God comes into your heart and you have the solid rock, you've got stability in your life. And I can tell you that's why when we sing about it, my hope is built on nothing less, Jesus' blood and his righteousness. On the solid rock I'll stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's another song. I got to say to you, there's one, how did it go? Brother Roloff used to sing it. I hold not the rock, but the rock holds me. The rock holds me. Yes, the rock holds me. I'm resting on the rock, and the rock holds me. Resting in the rock, Christ Jesus. That's a good thing to rest on. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something. The closer the coming of the Lord, the harder and harder that it seems to stay with the Word. But you stay with it. You stay with it. And long after I'm dead and gone and turned to ashes or whatever, well, I guess they're not going to cremate me, so the worms have eaten me or whatever, the word of the Lord will still be right. Somebody will still be trying to replace it. Somebody will still be trying to allure you away with something else. And I got to tell you right now is that sooner or later, is that I've said this over and over again, we've had some folks that I thought were top shelf people in days gone by. I'm not talking about here of late. I'm talking about in days gone by. I watched them leave and my heart was as broken then as it is now. And today, after many moons have passed, they go nowhere. Their family and kids have grown up to be nothing but hellions, and they don't care nothing about God, the Bible, good, right, moral, or decent. Now I'm going to tell you, just take fair warning. You're not going to get away from the preaching of this book and it not have a detrimental effect upon you and or your family. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us. May you hide it in our hearts that we not sin against thee and that we could teach transgressors thy ways. Now bless these folks that have gathered here.